This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins, and you can find me at Conquest3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good friend, Peter, at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. This is Twin Peaks Investing Podcast number 72. It is Wednesday, the 6th of April. Today is the first day of ISA season. So I'm hoping that everyone's been out there considering, looking, researching, planning, sourcing ideas, and generally getting ready to deploy more money into the market. And hope you've been fortunate and had a great 2021 to 22 ISA season, and your portfolios have done well. Peter, how are you doing, fella?
Yeah, well, you know, apart from the obvious with my health things, I'm okay. You know, it's. I was saying to you earlier before the call, the pain really comes and goes, and today it's not as bad as it was over the weekend. So, you know, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, in that it looks like I might be having an operation on the 21st of April. So, fingers crossed. I feel like gradually I'm making progress. So, you know,
fingers crossed, mate. Let's hope you get in there before that. If there's any cancellations or anything like that, that'd be great. You know what I mean? Because I made the joke earlier when we were talking off camera that you came onto screen with your emergency jumper on, so it looked like you were ready to go. You know what I mean? As fast as you possibly could in your big red jumper.
I'll tell you what, if Greta Thunberg sees you, mate, you're in trouble because you've got your heating on far too high. It's so obvious. Yeah, there's me with my thermostat right down, freezing to death. You're like, yeah, let's crank it up.
Oh, dear.
You wait till you get that gas bill, boy.
Well cladded, mate. You know, all these scandals going on about house builders and the cladding issues. My relatively new house is well cladded. That's all I can say.
It must be, I'll tell you.
Okie dokie, Pete. Where do you want to start, mate? Because the markets have been up, down and sideways, but we're still relatively high. Yesterday, the day before ISA season started and the end of the ISA season for last year, we finished at FTSE was 7,613 versus the 52-week high of 7,672. Today, we've just dropped slightly. We're down 26 points at 7,587, just 0.34% down on the FTSE 100. Bit of volatility yesterday in the US markets, with them giving up a few points. Today, a bit more of a, you know, negative sort of movements, but it's been very, very interesting, mate, with regards to the markets. Just keep nudging up regarding the oil stocks are still doing okay. The behemoth still doing okay. We've got AstraZeneca, which we both hold. We're sitting at
new all-time high. Yeah.
All-time high. Finished at 104 today, I think, which is unheard of. And we had GSK finishing at new highs as well. I think it's from February 2020, it's the high.
Yeah.
£17, was it 28? 48. Now, I purchased that with a view that it had a sum of parts of more than £18. And then when Unilever came in for the consumer unit, I thought, right, okay, if they're bidding that much for that, you know, 50 million. So therefore I put it towards £20 per share, and it's sitting, you know, including dividends now, at about 17.5, nearer to 18. So I'm pleased with that, Pete. So what's your thoughts about markets?
That's interesting, because you're spot on. I mean, GSK had another update today after an update yesterday, and it's made a new 1-year high, which is, you know, bullish behavior. And as you say, AstraZeneca up strongly. It's really interesting. I mean, I think the FTSE 100 is just going sideways at the moment. When you look for the last sort of, like, I don't know, 5-6 days, whatever, it's not really done a lot, and it's sort of grinding up a bit. And yeah, I mean, you could sort of look over 2 weeks, and yes, it's made progress. It's moved from 7-4 to 7-6, but it's just a very sort of steady increase. And I think that's, again, the big stocks, the behemoths, like I said, and the oil and the resources and whatever. I mean, obviously, the Ukraine thing is just so appallingly bad. But the interesting thing is the American markets, where the NASDAQ yesterday took quite a dive. And today, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 6th of April, and it's 6:20 now. Today, it's down 2.7% when I looked 2 seconds ago. The interesting thing was that none of these markets, despite the weakness of today and of yesterday, none of them have done 13/21-day EMA bear crosses, which is the thing that I really look for. So it's interesting that even though, like, you look on Twitter, there's a lot of bearish talk, a lot of people are worried, and you can understand why people are worried, because it's horrible. I mean, you know, the news out of Ukraine, loads more sanctions today. You know, you can see oil prices higher, costs are going up, inflation's getting rampant, as we've talked about many a time on the podcast. And, you know, despite that, markets have actually held up incredibly well. So it's a bit hard to know where things are going, you know.
You've mentioned the word there, Pete, without saying the word. The talk that's going around really is that we're facing the beginnings of a recession in the next 3 to 12 months.
Yeah.
The R word that nobody wants to hear. Regards to the American markets, what they're getting scared of, and they've got a right to be scared of, is the fact that potentially the Fed's looking to do bumper or a number of interest rate rises to quell inflation. So if that happens, history tells us it's going to repeat itself, that when you start rising rates to combat inflation, what do we get? You get a recession. So it's going to be unlikely that there's any difference going forward, and that history doesn't repeat itself. So every now and then when we hear the conversation and they ignore all the other stuff that's going on, that's the one that hits the market, the talk of recession. So we'll see what happens. I've been cautious as always with what I've been doing in the markets. I've been reducing some stuff, but I put a tweet out before we started this conversation just on Twitter. And there was some stuff, as I always do, I've got cash available. I didn't have to wait for new ISA season. And I saw some stuff today and I thought, let me have a nibble of that. You know, we'll wait and see what happens the next 3 to 6 yeah. months or a year, or even the next 2 years. But, you know, I did what I did with Blacksco Welcome at sub £13. I bought that when no one wanted it. It's now nearer to 17 and a half. We'll see. I'm trying to buy as much quality stuff as I possibly can, Pete. And what I'm going to be doing going forward is probably reducing my portfolio somewhat.
Yeah.
The number of stocks I hold, and increasing the quality of what I hold, if that makes sense. And going further and further up away from the smaller little, you know, highly speculative yeah. ones that I have at the bottom of my portfolio, and increasing the quality up the food chain to FTSE yeah. 350 and overseas stocks as well. I'm going to do a lot more research on overseas stocks going forward.
Yeah, that's I mean, there's good sense to that. You were talking about recession earlier. One of the things that I look out for is this yield curve inversion. So this is where you've got the American Treasury bonds. You have the 2-year yield. So that's like a 2-year bond from the American government that yields a certain amount, yeah, the coupon. And then you look at the 10-year yields from the American government. Now, in theory, and I'll try and get this the right way around, in theory, a 10-year bond yield should be sort of like all of the 1-year, 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, all of the bonds added together in effect, yeah? So you should get a sort of bond yield curve that sort of rises over time. What's actually happened is it's inverted, it's done that. So effectively, it means that shorter term rates, the 2-year rate, interest rate, is higher than the 10-year rate. And that is a very, very good predictor of recession. Whenever you hear whenever you see someone on CNBC, someone on Bloomberg, you have economists on Newsnight, whatever, on the BBC News, whenever you get them talking about recession, ignore them all, right? Because nobody knows, right? But the yield curve inversion is the best indicator there is. And what it tells us, it's not very good on timing. So it's very good at predicting a recession. So it basically says a recession is going to come. We don't really, I think the period is about 2 years. So it may not happen for 2 years. It may happen in 6 months. We can guess as to when it's going to be. But it just looks very likely.
It does. And all the things I'm reading, they keep coming back saying it's about 15 plus years, Pete, since it's last did that, the yield curve inverted. Yeah. And everybody else, every economist that comes out says the same thing. It's a harbinger of doom regarding economic recession. So, we don't know if it will be, for definite,
yeah,
or when it will be.
It doesn't always work.
It's a high likelihood that it could possibly be in the next 12 to 18 months. So what I'm doing is trying to buy as much quality stuff as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And reducing the speculative stuff that I've got. But I think what people need to be mindful of is making sure that they don't panic. You know, we're going to have, and I've been saying we've been in a troubled market for some time now, is that we're going to have these days when the markets drop 1% or 0.5% or 1.5%. We're going to have the volatility of the NASDAQ, wagging the whole dog of the US market, in a sense of that tends to be where the larger caps are, the tech stocks in the US. And when they roll over, the US market rolls over. When they sneeze, we get a cough in the UK. Yeah. So we're sitting, remarkably, Pete, considering what's been going on, we're sitting at 7,500, nearly 7,600 as such. I struggle to understand why, but I know why, in a sense of it's the behemoths, the AstraZeneca, Glaxo Welcomes, the BPs, the Shells, and so on and so forth, that have done exceptionally well. But part of me is just a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that they shouldn't actually be doing that well, given what we know of what's going on elsewhere in the world. And but we're at war,
Our mate Jason at StealthSurf, who we actually had on the podcast some episodes ago, he made a very interesting observation on Twitter. And I thought, that's worth taking note of. He said how there is a lack of market breadth. So what he said was that when you look at something like the FTSE 100, it's only a third of the companies actually making new highs. The other two thirds are falling. It might have been on the all share, whatever it was, but it's this lack of market breadth. It sort of shows a market that's very skewed and not really behaving in a normal way, if you like. So I think as you say, I think The correct answer, if you like, the correct response is to be cautious, to stick to quality, don't panic, don't make snap judgments, just be really thoughtful and careful about what you're doing.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we've talked about rotation of stocks as well in the past, Pete, and it's interesting that the likes of Imperial Brands, Bats, the tobacco company, people call them sin stocks. They've been doing them creeping up of late as well. So I think there's still a bit of rotation away from tech stocks going on. Mm. Some of the 52-week highs that we've got in the UK market, and this is scattered all over the place, and I'll do them in alphabetical order. Some of these have been recent or our current 52-week highs. We've mentioned some of these as well. Anglo-Pacific, Pete, we mentioned a couple of weeks back regarding the Ukrainian situation and a royalty stock, that's APF, Anglo-Pacific.
That's mining, isn't it?
Yeah, mining stock. You've got, Henry Boot, which is a construction company. I think Boot's the symbol there for that, B-O-O-T.
Well, that's made new high. Yep,
yeah, 52-week highs, Pete. Yeah,
these are stocks that no one... I'm surprised by that. Do you know what? It's just broken out to a new high as well. I'm surprised by that because, mind you, it is coming up to three on the chart. It's coming up to a three-year high, which is at about 350. So that might be an area where people start to question whether they should be getting so excited, because you look at all the other housing stocks and that, they're all down a lot.
The cladding thing and this new resolution and this new deal that they've made with the government and blah, blah, blah. There's going to be stuff going on there, Pete, regarding that. I like my property stocks. I like the fact that they yield quite well. So there's going to be opportunities there. Is there opportunity over the next 3 to 6 months? I'm not sure. Yeah. So we'll see.
I noticed your PCA, Palace Capital, that you mentioned on the podcast quite a few episodes ago, that had good update today, and they've raised the dividend. I thought that was quite an interesting one.
Yeah, it's an interesting stock, Pete. I've liked it for a good while, and it's one of them which I purchased with when it was unloved. I think it's still unloved, to be fair, and maybe I'm just biased. And it's one of those stocks where it quietly goes about its business. It's got a really, really good team there, a really great CEO. It's going to be paying a progressive dividend going forward. It's always, it has been doing. It's sticking to that sort of mantra. And it's a sort of stock which I like, because it's completely undervalued by the market, underappreciated by the market. And it's been creeping up and creeping up and creeping up. I bought it at, I think it was 175 a little while back. And it's, I'm going to get this right now, July 2020, Pete. So it's still going through that sort of flux in the markets. So it's coming up to 2 years. So I bought it at 175. Today it was up 4% at one stage at 285. And I did my sum of the parts analysis, and I thought, this is worth £3. Mm. Any day of the week, this is worth £3 a share. And I waited and waited and did my research, and I've been patient with it. I've been getting the dividends since then. So I'm on my way towards 100% return on a sleepy stock that no one wants. But, we'll see what happens with it. Construction, it is what it is. They do what they do. They've still got to sell some units in York. And if they do well out of the units in York and get all those completed, they'll have some more money to spend elsewhere. They're quite shrewd in their land bank and what they regenerate. So it's one of them. It's in the income portfolio. It's done well. There's still room to run. I'm not advising anyone to go and buy it now. It's up quite a lot over the past 2 years.
I think in the update today, they said there's potential for a lot more shareholder returns with all the disposals and that they're doing. Because they've got offices, and they have retail premises outside of London, and very much thinking the Midlands and stuff like that. And I think also Maidenhead near me. I was impressed. Yeah.
I think they're desperate to get out of the retail element of things, Pete, to be honest with you.
Have they got much retail? I didn't think
They've only got a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah,
focus on building sites, building homes and commercial use, and be less commercial.
Yeah. It's funny, because I must say, every morning I look through the RNSs and see what's happening. And it was quite refreshing to read a really good update, because I'm reading so many at the moment that are ropey, and the shares are down, 20% on so many things at the moment. I noticed Avon again, AVON, that one disappointed again today. And that, I was saying to someone today, I can't see that one improving until they kick the management out and get new management. It's got to that stage, it's had profit warning, profit warning, profit warning. You've got to have a change of management. You ain't going to get recovery otherwise.
We spoke about this a while back, as you said, Pete, and I did mention at the time that you had the chap from the milk unit being promoted to the CEO, and it's not done well ever since. This is a stock that was tipped by our good friend Phil Oakley many moons ago. He tipped it, and then he told everyone it's got overpriced now. My advice would be to get out essentially before he'd left, and went to pastures new. And some people didn't listen. It was saying get out of it towards £40. I think today it went under 11, near to 10. So I'm not sure what's needed there. The problem I've got with it, with the stock, Pete, is that it is a UK defence stock, right?
Well, yeah.
And if it carries on making these errors, right, we're going to be sat again with the government needing to get involved. Down 19% today, Pete, at £10.70. Crikey. You know, with the government needing to be getting involved, because an overseas predator will go, we'll buy that, we'll soak up all the debt, and we'll get all the data, all the patents, and all the rest of it, and off we go. It's a £401 million stock today, right? It was a £2 billion stock some years ago. So you've got to say, what's going wrong here? What's going on? You know, the management need to have a look at themselves, because they've let everybody down. They let the shareholders down, let the pension holders down, and they've left themselves wide open to predators now. And the predators are likely to be somebody overseas, because none of the UK listed firms will probably want to consider them. And why is that CEO still picking up a salary? Why is that CEO still picking up a salary?
Yeah, I mean, there is BAE Systems, obviously, which might be interested. I know it's on the chart. 860 is the low this year. I think, you know, if that goes, if that fails as support, it's going lower. And as I think what will probably happen is that shareholders, as in the big institutional shareholders, will start knocking on the management's door and saying, something's got to change here, guys, because this ain't working. We want you lot out and a new lot in. And that's the only way I see that one turning around. But like you say, it's with Ukraine and the situation there, and defence spending everywhere is going to increase. I mean, this is a fantastic time for defence companies. If they can't be making hay now, it's like, goodness me, there is no hope for them, you know?
I have to agree with you, mate. I have to agree with you, which is why anyone that was looking for that to be a recovery stock needs to be mindful, because sometimes you've got to have a look at, you know, go back to the conversation we have so many times on here. You know, you can do as much research as you want, and I tend to do more than most, and I still get it wrong, is that sometimes you can stop when you look at the management. I look at the management of Avon and I go, no, you know, and that saves me another 97 hours of research. You know, I just wouldn't do it.
Well, I'll
move on and have a look at another stock.
I have a rule that I won't buy anything that's had profit warnings. I'm quite happy to hold something that I know quite well that's had a warning, because so often warnings are a temporary sort of period they go through when they're in rehab and whatever. But I would never buy anything that's had a profit warning. I'm just not interested. A lot of traders love the bounces. And, you know, if you're a trader or you're a short-term trader, fine, that's fair enough. But if you're a long-term investor, buying after profit warnings, you're really just asking for trouble.
Agreed. I mean, it wasn't a profit warning today, mate, but sometimes you've got to go, uh-oh, what's going on? And I don't talk about my stocks in depth on here, but I'll just mention this. And this
I think it was an implied one today.
Well, I don't know if it's an implied one, but it makes you wonder there's something gone wrong here, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday there's a picture of the group managing director, Gary Skinner, of Inland Homes, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Picture taken of him in Beaconsfield in Staffordshire, right? This motorway or A355 relief road. And there's a nice picture of him, right? With the mayor and all the rest of it, with the goldy looking chain gang. You know what I mean, Pete?
Oh, right.
Taking a nice picture with those chaps opening the road, which they've had something to do with, okay? Today, right? Group MD Gary Skinner's employment terminated with immediate effect from the 5th of April. I'm like,
oh my God.
What? You know, and the second RNS, we're delighted to have achieved the sale of 2 land sales. And the shares are down 6% today. I'm thinking, now, what has he done wrong? What overspend is coming down the pipe? Which other profit warning is coming down the pipe here for Inland Homes? It's already down. It's already about 60, 70% below the NAV, right? It's got a NAV of, I don't know what, nearer to a pound. The share price is at 40p. Yeah. I'm thinking I've got a bargain. The bargain just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, mate. So that's my one that's completely, I've called completely wrong. It just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. So I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop and a profit warning possibly coming on Inland.
I'm looking on the chart, and the low on that from sort of 2 years ago is something like, I don't know, it's probably around 20p or something. It's like, mate, yeah, I hope you don't have to suffer that pain. Oh, nasty.
Horrible chart. As I said, I thought I'd done my research on it. I thought I'd chosen the management well. And it looks like a chart which I should go and buy some skis for, Pete, you know?
I think you've been unlucky on that one. I mean, I've considered INL a lot, and I've held it in the past, and I generally have used to like it. But, I mean, I could easily have bought that. You know, it's just one of them things. You know, even if you're buying quality companies, what appear to be quality companies, things can go wrong, you know? And I think it's where we come back to, so often we talk about overconfidence, and I think it's a great example of where overconfidence can come in. So many people would buy something like Inland and they'll be telling you, oh, it's fantastic, it's going to go to the moon and whatever. And they've got like a massive amount of their portfolio in it, and you're going to get hurt, you know? It's like you've got to have a more diverse approach. You've got to be able to take the knocks on the jaw when they come. They're going to happen, you know. There are no certainties in the stock market. It's just not. It just doesn't happen, you know. You cannot buy a stock knowing it's going to go up. Any stock you hold at any time can have a warning and go wrong.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe, and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
I completely agree with you. And like you say, it doesn't matter if it's a FTSE 100 stock or a FTSE nano cap or an AIM stock. Mm. Talking about AIM stocks, Pete, I've had a few DMs, and we need to just clear this up, right? So I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. You can answer it in any which way you want, right? Occasionally, and often, and some people say, far too many times, you pop onto AIM, you pop onto Twitter, and you take AIM at AIM.
Excellent.
And you go, all these AIM stocks are a pile of beep, 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 beep. Don't buy any. Now, I know you own some AIM stocks, right?
I know.
So please, please, will you qualify and differentiate between AIM stocks as to what you buy, what you don't buy,
totally,
and why? Well, this will just save you having a target on your red jersey regarding the AIM people that buy quality stocks. Half of the share stock mob and the mellow mob and all the other herd that are out there buy AIM stocks. They all buy small caps. Leon Boris is famous for buying them. Lord Lee's famous for buying them. So tell me about the AIM stocks, why you buy some and why you don't buy stuff, and explain to everybody, please.
Well, funnily enough, I actually did a TikTok video about this. I see it, there's probably sort of four different types of AIM stocks. There's AIM miners and resources stocks. They are a special class in themselves, that there are periods when they do extremely well. Like at the moment, you know, AIM resources stocks, it's a good time to be in AIM resources stocks. But there are lots of times when they're really bad news and it's not a good time to be in AIM resources stocks.
Agreed.
There are then let's go the other way. We then have what I call the quality AIM stocks. And these are things I want to be in. So these are real companies, real established companies that have been around for quite some time often. I mean, there's AIM listed companies been around 100 years. Things like Sanderson, SDG, which used to be Walker Green Bank. That's an AIM stock. Great company, you know. And they pay dividends, they are on reasonable ratings, they've got a good history of revenues, good history of profits. They are real businesses. They're not a dream, they're not a hope, you know. You've then got, and these ones are sort of probably around, you know, 60 million, 70 million, 80 million, up to, well, whatever. They can be like 500 million, a billion even, you know. But they tend to be the larger ones of AIM. You've then got another group of companies that have similar attributes to the quality companies. Remember, they're not miners, you know, that's like a separate box. They have similar attributes to the quality ones, but they tend to be a lot smaller. in terms of market cap. So they might be anything from like, say, 10 million up to 50 or whatever. They're more micro caps. Quite often they've got quite a history of existing. They might have been around 20 years or whatever, but quite often they've only been around 5 years, 10 years. Quite often they are pre-profits. They have revenue and the revenue is growing, but quite often the revenue is very, very small. Yeah, they might be making like 3 million of revenue a year, and it might be predicted next year to go to 4 million. I mean, you know, we are talking small fry here. And the big problem with these kinds of companies, I mean, they can be really good. And, you know, you buy one, you can double, treble your money on them. But the difficulty with these companies, it doesn't take much to go wrong. When you've only got a revenue of £6 million, it don't take much hiccup to wipe your profit out, you know? And so that's that class. You've then got really the more speculative stuff, and you've got in there your biotechs and your basically all stuff that's pre-revenue. It's not even making revenue. It's not making any money. It's often several years away from ever being likely to make any money. Yes, you can do well on them. Yes, you can make 10 times your money. But for me personally, it's just not the kind of pool I want to be fishing in. And I, you know, it's just not for me at all. That's about it, really.
No, that's absolutely tickety-boo, mate. I think for me, to put it, to cap it, really, it's about the fact of each individual has a responsibility to go in to whichever market they want to go into and have a really, really good look. There is good stocks on the FTSE and there's bad stocks on the FTSE. There's good stocks on AIM and there's bad stocks on AIM. And the more risky you want to be, that's your choice. There's lots of loss-making stocks on AIM. There's loss-making stocks on the FTSE. We've spoken about Avon, which was a £2 billion company, is now a £401 million company. That's a massive, massive decline. And we've seen other quality stocks on the FTSE halve in the past year and a bit. And we've seen some on AIM halve as well. So it's about, goes back again to the research. And we had, you know, we've not mentioned him yet. We had fantastic Claudio H. Fox on here. The last podcast. It's down to research the stocks, and if you can be as very selective as you possibly can, and then position size accordingly regarding what level of risk you want to take. And if you're fortunate enough to get a management that actually execute on some of those goals, then what happens is the stock accelerates forward. You know, you're not coming back to the market every 3 months or 6 months like some of these AIM stocks do and some of these FTSE stocks do as well, where they're doing a placing, they're doing another fundraising. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this again, but I will try and mention it another time if I haven't done so before, is keep an eye on the actual share count. When the actual company, FTSE, AIM or otherwise, IPO'd, what was the number of shares registered to the market? Was it 100 million? Was it 50 million? Was it 47 million? Was it 29 million? After the past 5, 10, 15 years that this stock's been on the market, what's the share count now? If you're towards a billion, you've been diluted to the yin yang and it's not doing well, especially if it's on AIM. Yeah, the dilution is there for a reason. Someone's getting paid from all these fundraisers, right? So be very considerate and have a look and go back. When this IPO'd and it was called something else and something else and something else since then, what's happened to the share count? It's probably gone like this. How many times have they changed the name? Yeah. Or were they a mining stock before? Oh, now they're a COVID stock. Oh, now they're a retail stock. Oh, now they're a uranium stock. Oh, and the management keep chopping and changing and all the rest of it. You don't need that noise.
Yeah.
Right. And there's people out there that will buy whatever is moving the fastest. And unfortunately, whatever's moving the fastest tend to move the fastest that way and also that way as well. And it goes back to the conversation I've been having with Algie Hall on the Investing Matters podcast. If you haven't listened to it yet, please do so. So just follow @INVMATT podcast. Investing Matters podcast. Brilliant interview with Algie Hall, all about psychology. We tend to follow confirmation bias. We tend to seek out the information that tells us and applies to what we want to hear. You know what I mean? So be very, very mindful not to chase and be forced to follow fear of missing out, folks, because there's lots of stocks out there that are doing well this week, this month, this year. They won't be around doing well in the next couple of weeks and couple of months. Yeah. So do your own research.
I mean, something to add on that AIM thing is that I think people need to bear in mind where I'm coming from when I say things, right? I started doing Wheelie Dealer to help newbie investors. That was the whole reason for starting it. Yeah. And when I say things, it's really targeted at newbie investors to help newbie investors, because I can clearly say I mentor and talk to a hell of a lot of new investors, right? And invariably, the number one error they are making when they're not having success in their portfolios is they are buying too much of that speculative, junky AIM stuff. And the point is, there is no problem buying speculative, junky AIM stuff if you know what you are doing, if you are experienced, if you're managing the risk levels, if you're using stop losses, if you're keeping the position sizes small. Remember, Pete, when you bought into some pretty risky stocks, probably like a year or 2 years ago, you only had a very small part of your portfolio in them. And that is the way to treat them. We all go about it the wrong way. We all do it. I did it. And the chances are you probably did, Pete. It's like when we start investing, we all buy the junky AIM stuff. It's like, it's exciting. It's what you want to do. Really, we should be going the other way. We should start learning on the sort of quality stuff and then move to the more higher risk stuff.
I think there's a high proportion of people that will go towards the lower end of AIM. I think part of the reason why they do that and what happens is the loudest people on social media will tend to be traders. And the ones that are doing reasonably well or well will tend to be investors. But the ones that are talking and cheerleading the most regarding stocks will tend to be traders, because they're looking to make 5-10% on a stock very, 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 very quickly. And we see all these stocks being spun. And the newbies will come onto social media and go, oh, X, Y, and Z looks great because he or she's making so much returns and all the rest of it. And they're doing extra, and all of them seem to be winning. Well, if you're corralling and coercing and encouraging people to buy the same stock as you all of the time, then you're probably going to do okay, because you're using that momentum on an illiquid stock to actually get the stock to move. It's not actually the quality of the stock that's moving the stock. It's the noise behind the stock. It's air. And when the air goes out of the balloon and pops, you're left as the newbie sitting there going, why is this stock down 30-40%? X, Y, and Z said it was going to go to the moon. It's not going to the moon. They just needed to move 5-10% to make the money for the day. So, you know, it's a learning curve, Pete. We've all been there. You know, I've made the mistake of reading something and thinking, I haven't got time to do all the research on this one, but that sounds great. Bang, bought it. You know, historically, I've done that. Will I do that anymore? No. But you've got these people that go, oh, I don't like these rampers. I don't like these rampers. I don't like these rampers. And the minute the ramper that they like comes out and cheerleads the stocks and ramps the stock, they bought it. I'm going, oh, my gosh, that person comes out once a month, puts out this stuff, A, B, C, D, SWOT analysis, whatever you want to call it, of all the different reasons why this stock's great. And everyone's buying it. I'm going, how much research have you done on that stock? You've come into my DMs, starting to my DMs, asking me a question for you. Please help. I've lost this kind of money. I'm happy to help, happy to support, happy to mentor you. But why did you buy that? Ask me that. The first question is, why did you buy that? Oh, such and such a person was talking about it. And this other person was talking about it. This other person was talking about it. And that's why I bought it. So what research did you actually do on it? And the answer is usually not much. Should not, and anyone should not be buying a stock just because other people are talking about it. I don't care if it's a FTSE 100 company. I don't care if it's one of my stocks or one of Wheelie's stocks or one of Claudio H. Fox's stocks. do your own research. I can't say that enough on this podcast. It frustrates me that people lose money just by copying other people. And then you've got these other people that just pop out of the woodwork. Oh, and they say, oh, I've been buying that over the last couple of weeks because the stock's going up. And you've got these other people, oh, I've been buying that recently, or I've been adding that, or it's only a small position because it's being taken over. And I'm like, oh, where is the proof that you bought this stock? I'm putting contract notes out, and people are saying, oh, you know what? How do we know if that's true, that you've done all that percentage on that particular stock because we've not seen your CAGR? It's just so funny, Pete. It's like, you do as best as you can to be as transparent as you possibly can, and someone will find something. And I'm like, you know what, mate? Put out your contract notes. Yeah, everyone put the contract notes out. Those that have got time to write a spiel and a blog about all these different things that they're doing, put your contract notes out, right? Put your buy and sell notes out. Let's see some transparency. Really? Come on. People are losing money by following the wrong people. Follow no one. Do your own research. Yeah. Have faith in yourself. Get rich slowly over the course of 5, 10, 15, 25 years. Don't try and do it overnight by copying anybody. And 90% of the stuff that you see on Twitter, just take it with a pinch of salt.
Spot on, mate. Spot on. Hey, we need to talk about...
Hey, let's talk about something nice. Let's have a break here and talk about your Twin Peaks challenge and the charity, please, mate. Get some...
Absolutely.
These nice people have been sending money towards a charity, mate. Let's talk about that for a brief.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this is a bit like the sort of musical interlude in the middle now. Our charity of the year this year is the Backup Trust, which is a spinal injury charity. I've got a spinal injury myself. I'm a T3 paraplegia, which means I'm sort of injured about there. I have to think where I can feel. I can feel here. I can't feel here, so it must be about here, right? So that means I'm paralyzed at this level and I'm a wheelchair user and whatever. So it's very much, you know, a charity that I'm sort of, you know, have a personal connection to. So any donations you can make as a thank you for the podcast we do, the tweets we do, the everything we do, you know what we do. But much appreciated. And it's a charity that does a lot of work. I'm trying to get the heartstrings going now. It does a lot of work with children, you know. Funnily enough, I actually had a sort of letter come round from Backup just a few days ago, and it had some case studies in there of people that have been helped. And there was one that really, I mean, I think I mentioned this kind of thing on another podcast, but this was a little lad, right? And he was about 8 or something, or 7. He was a young boy, yeah. And one day, I'm trying to think what the events were. One day, I think he started getting like a numbness in his leg or something, yeah? And he went to doctors and to the hospital and whatever, and they were like, oh, mate, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, to the parent, there's nothing wrong with him. Take him home, whatever, he'll be fine, you know. Wakes up the next day, he's paralyzed. And he had this condition, which is called transverse myelitis. And literally, it can happen to anyone, where you just basically end up paralyzed overnight. I think it's a virus or something. I'm not really sure. But it was just really sad. And one of the things that was in there was, like, he's got a brother who's older, who was about, say, 9 or 10. And they used to play football together. And it really affected his brother, because the younger one, you know, is in a wheelchair now. It was like they used to play football together, so they stopped playing football. They used to ride bikes together, so the older one stopped riding his bike because he felt bad because his brother couldn't ride a bike anymore. And it was just things like that. And I thought, God, this is so sad, you know. But anyway, so the money that if we can, you know, anything you can donate, fantastic. And I'll tell you what the link is in a minute. And the money goes to helping these kids and stuff with the adjustment side, the physical side, the mental side. But it also does older people as well. Yeah, they do a lot of good work, the Backup Trust. Anyway, I just go on now. I noticed that the link you want is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaks, and that should take you to it. And so far, we've got £1,219, so it's going up nicely. So thank you, everyone who's donated. I'll just wish for a couple. We mentioned him earlier, Claudio. Claudio, so it's H1 Fox, Claudio. Wheelie Dealer, this is a great charity and one close to my heart, as my mother was in a wheelchair for 40 plus years. The work up backup do is amazing. Here's my first Curry Night donation, and he's given 30 quid. So first donation for 2020. He's given us 30 quid and the £7.50 gift aid. Donation from Nigel Donati. Thank you, Nigel. Fantastic. Kevin and Joanne Taylor, £100. Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks, guys. That's superb. Malcolm Reed, nice £20 donation. Really enjoyed that, men. Definitely no milestone. Keep up the good work. No milestone. Yeah, it's a milestone. Thanks, Malcolm. Brilliant. My mate, Ansuman, fantastic. Thanks, mate. He's given us 30 quid. Keep the excellent work going, chaps. Your discussions and views are incredibly useful. I've learned a tremendous amount listening and following you too. Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks, mate. Who else we got here? Quality small cap investor. Yep, know the guy. Good guy. Great cause. Happy to give a donation to Two Peaks, who easily fall into my top 100 favorite podcasts. That's brilliant. I love that. I like that. That appeals. Oh, yeah.
That's the banter, mate.
Oh, and our mate Dave Glass. I reckon I'm about to take you through the 1K, unless there's any payments pending. A small price to pay for 12 months worth of quality stock banter. Great choice of charity and good luck. Nice one. And Dave Lydon, I don't know. Dave Lane, would he?
I think we've done those now, Pete, from last time.
Yeah, but what I would say
with Claudio is that he will be back, because he tends to have, if he's not going out with his mates on a Friday or a Saturday for his curry night, he'll make another donation at some point. If not, he'll make quite a few donations of that sort of size going forward.
Fantastic.
So that's the beauty of it.
I was wondering if Dave Lydon, who's on the list, is he a relation of John Lydon, do you reckon?
You'd be so lucky, mate, because if he is, he needs to tap up his brother, mate, and make another donation, if that's the case. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Hey, I want to talk about a little tiddly little stock, mate.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That caught my eye this week.
Oh.
Right? And let me know if you know this stock, right? It is a restaurateur, right? Casual dining group, Pete. Yeah? Have you heard of Franco Manca?
Franco Manca.
Or the Real Greek Restaurants chain.
It's Fulham Shaw, FUL.
Ah, well done. Well, he came out with some news, mate, early this week. And despite, obviously, all the rising costs, energy costs, staff costs, and all the rest of it, they basically were saying that they had a really positive outlook for the hospitality, and customer numbers are rising and trading was robust, you know. So it popped, the shares rose, and they're expecting trading in the second half to be reasonably, you know, stronger than expected, I think is the words that they used, and they're looking to open some more restaurants. So group sales through the opening of 10 restaurants in London, Cheltenham and Manchester. So that was well received. I think people are desperate to go out, Pete, and relax and chill out and all the rest of it.
They do the real Greek restaurant as well.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. So it's quite confident they're growing, and it plans to open 18 new restaurants across the brand this year. So those look super optimistic. It's only a small cap company. Ticker symbol FUL. Market cap at the minute. And this is not a recommendation. This is something that caught my eye, folks, for you guys, ladies and gents, to go and research. 104, 105 million market cap, Pete. The stock price has gone nowhere for over a year. But it's one of them, you know, hospitality is not one of the stocks that's done extremely well. But if you go back to the slump of 2020, March 28th is a date that I normally use for referencing stuff, stocks near their lows. It was at 4.75 pence. So that's just over 2 years ago. And it's currently sitting at 15 and a half pence as we speak today. So that's just one I've just caught my eye.
I mean, in the looking at the chart on it, it's been between just below 15p and 20 pence for about a year. And I think it's like 15 and a half now. I was actually out last night, which is a bit of a shocker. And we went into a restaurant called Bill's Restaurant in Reading. And it was really busy, which sort of surprised me. But the other thing, though, that was noticeable and also surprised me, prices haven't gone up. And I thought,
that's interesting.
These restaurants, I wonder how many restaurants and pubs and whatever are keeping their pricing keen to get people coming back, you know, after the pandemic and stuff. They want to try and encourage customers back into the habit. And it means their margins are going to be squeezed. So I think that's something we need to be really careful of in that sector. It's like, how much of a price increase can that sector bear? It's really hard to know. And, you know,
that's a really, really, really good point.
Could the buoyancy at the moment just be a bit of a rebound because it's a bit of a novelty? People haven't been out for a while because of the pandemic and whatever. And we find that sort of tails off as disposable income gets squeezed, as your petrol price goes up, your national insurance goes up, you know, all those costs and squeezing down on that disposable income. So I think we need to be really careful of anything cyclical.
Well, you're absolutely spot on, Pete. There's another, there's a couple of other things of note there as well. Is I was speaking to a chap just last week when I went to see one of the charities. And some of the shops and cafes and those that are in the hospitality trade, depending on who owns the property outright, landlord, let's use that word, landlord, landlady, they've bumped up their rent significantly, you know, in some regards, far beyond 10%, more likely 30%. So depending on who owns that building, if you haven't got a good owner of the building, those costs have gone up significantly. So if you're a publican and you're renting the space for whatever you're doing, that's you're almost putting them out of business, Pete. One thing to keep in mind here, Pete, as well, is that there are rumor control, right? That the price of this, I know it's going to upset you. It's definitely going to upset Steve Holsworth, our good friend. Is that the price of a pint of beer is set to rise because of the cost stuff that you've just mentioned, Pete. They're going to have to increase the price of a pint to quell some of the costs that they're having to deal with, inflationary costs. So yeah, so the price of the pint might be going up, mate, at some point.
I was just looking on my phone there because I thought I knew something else about Fulham Shore, and it's quite relevant, and I'm right. Its chairman is a guy called David Page. Now, I believe he's quite a successful player in that restaurant space. I've got a feeling he was involved in maybe Pizza Express or something like that at some point in time. I may be wrong, but I think he's a big hitter. I think, you know, he is someone who's got a good record with restaurant businesses. So that's worth taking note of.
Okie dokie. Want to keep an eye on.
He was definitely in something. Mate, I've got a few.
Give us a couple of your stocks then, Pete.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPETES. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the TWINPETES promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll talk first about a stock that I got very near buying. And I even spoke to you about it off camera about 6 months ago, right? And that's
Let's hope I haven't gone and bought it then, eh? Because if you talk about any of my stocks again, Pete, I will be coming there and giving you a smack around the chops.
You ain't going to like what I'm going to say about it if you're old.
Oh, gosh.
I was seriously...
I'm already old in my head, mate.
I was seriously keen on this stock, and I'd even put out tweets on Twitter saying I'm looking at a new stock and I'm pretty excited about it, you know? And I really thought I'd found something blinking brilliant.
My fingers are crossed.
Once I started looking more... I didn't like the smell.
Oh my gosh.
It definitely.
Come on, just get it out, mate. Come on.
Right. It is AWE Alpha Wave.
And not one of mine. Whoop, whoop.
The risk, well, that's I think you'll be interested in what I'm gonna say about it. It IPO'd. Well, it looks like about a year and a half ago. Well, year and a bit ago, it IPO'd. It's got a market capitalization of nearly 1.2 billion. The reason I was attracted to it was because it does chips and it's got very much the ARM model. So, So they do designs for chips. They don't actually make the chips themselves, yeah? And it works on, they make money two ways. They make money from license. So a company will come to them and say, we need a chip design for XYZ. And they'll say, oh yeah, we can do you one of them. Give us a little while, we'll knock one up. And they charge a license fee for creating that chip design that the other company then gets off and gets made and whatever by a chip maker. And they also get a royalty. So it's the same model as ARM. They get a royalty for each chip that is deployed out in the field. Yeah. And what they do, I mean, it sounds blinking brilliant. I was so, you know, gung-ho for this stock. What they do is they do network interface chips. So you know where you've got this explosion of data centers, expansion of data centers. There's more and more data all the time. At the edge of where, you know, where the data goes into the data center and whatever, they have all these routers and switches and all this kind of stuff. All these things have chips in them, yeah? And they design chips for those things. I mean, it all sounds brilliant, doesn't it? You think, God, this is good, you know? I read an update or results from the company, and I thought, God, that looks good, you know, whatever. And then once I started digging more, I looked on the website and stuff, got a good understanding of what it was they actually did, and I thought, I'm really liking this. And they've got cash. I believe they've got quite a lot of cash. But as I started to read into it, I'm starting to think, I don't know about this. When you look at the forecast earnings, now looking on SharePad, it's just beaming up on my tablet as we speak. Talk amongst yourselves.
They've also recently bought another silicon technology business for £210 million called Open5. And that was meant to be a earning enhancing acquisition. Yeah?
Yeah. Looking on SharePad, AWE are on a forward PE of 43.2, which is obviously quite high. It's then on a two-year forecast PE of 20.4, which actually doesn't sound bad for something of this nature, you know? So it's all exciting stuff. Right, where it starts to fall down, when you look at what the results are actually saying, results are actually saying, we've taken orders for this stuff. So it's not actual revenue. You look at the revenue, it's absolutely piddly. So there's a hell of a lot of, yes, we've got these orders on the order book, but will that actually turn into revenue? Will that actually turn into earnings? Okay, so I've got a big issue around that. Your next big problem is that the company's only existed since 2017. So it's like a sort of amalgamation of different bits that have been added together. So, you know, there's no real history there. It's just a collection of stuff. The other thing that I didn't like was that I don't think it's the latest acquisition, but it might have been the one before, is a related party with the chairman or something. Oh, and dear. I just think, okay, I don't like what I'm smelling here, you know? So, I mean, I may be wrong. AWE may turn out to be a bloody good investment, but on the information as I'm seeing it today, on a 1.2 billion valuation, I'm just thinking there's so much that isn't, you know, too many red flags, basically. They're as red as my jumper, right? Red flags.
I mean, this is one of the IPOs of 2021, Pete. IPO'd at £4.10. I'm not sure why that number, but there you go. Gave it a value of 3.1 billion. And as you say, the value of it now is 1.1 billion. So that's a lot of value destruction in the space of what, 18 months?
60%, a year and a bit? 60-65% down.
Yeah. So either it's a bargain because, you know, as us ordinary, you know, mug punters weren't allowed to actually engage in the IPO and the institutions did at £4, maybe us retail investors now are getting a bargain at £1.70 odd. Who knows? But they've got a lot to grow into now regarding revenue and going forward. But the fact you spotted those red flags, Pete, clearly some other institutions have spotted those red flags as well and have gone, let's get out of town. You know, so it's one to definitely research. And I'm sure the bargain hunters out there will start to investigate now that you've prompted them to have a look at it. And ordinarily, Pete, it would be a stock because it's tech. It's getting into 5G. It's getting into infrastructure. It's getting into all of the future emerging tech out there. And as you said, it's got a royalty model not dissimilar to what Arm had, which I held previously. Yeah. Ticks all those tech boxes for me, Pete. But I didn't do much reading into it. I just looked at the value and what they've been up to in the past. And I thought, that's a bit too rich. I'll wait. Yeah. And I tend not to buy into IPOs. I tend to wait until if they come back to the ground, great, I'll buy them. But if they don't, I'll just let them walk. I won't chase. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that I've got better at is fighting fear of missing out. I don't chase stuff once they run away from me. I've got other things on my watch list that I will buy.
That's always definitely the best way of doing it. One thing I noticed also on the chart for AWE, and one of the things that was stopping me, you know, getting too eager and jumping in too soon, when you look at the chart, it's gone down, then it appears to be in a bit of a sideways move. Now, often that's a good thing, but when you actually look at it, it's a sideways move that's actually going down. And I'm just thinking, this isn't, if it was pushing up again, I'd be excited. But when it's gone down, it's sort of just drifting down in this. I can see plenty of scope that could end up disappointing and dropping again.
Okie dokie.
But it's one to watch, you know. I mean, it could be really good. I might be being completely unfair to it. But, I mean, in a way, it's useful to have this discussion because it gives a clear indication of the kind of things I'm looking at when I'm looking at a stock. And I'm sure a lot of people will find that sort of reasonably useful.
Absolutely, mate. And I think this is the beauty of research. You know, we can all look at, you know, there's so much information out there. You know, this is another conversation I had with Algie on the Investing Matters podcast, was there's almost too much information out there. And I'll chase down all the information once I get into a stock. But eventually, if we like the stock and we like aspects of it, we then tend to focus down on all the information we want to hear, you know. Mm. And if I'd chased this enough, I probably would have ended up buying it, Peter. I'd have been watching it go from £3 down to £2 and now at 170. And I'm glad it's one of that I just left off my radar, to be fair. But it's there to be researched. And you know, if people find some stuff, maybe they want to come back and share it with us and Pete, to stick it on a Twitter DM or reply to the feedback regarding this particular podcast. I will say before I'll go on to the next stock I want to talk about, I want to say thanks ever so much to everybody. The feedback we've had with regards to Claudio's appearance on this show has been absolutely phenomenal. We've had so many people saying positive things about the candor, the level of research he did, the amount of stuff that we just fired at him regarding all the different questions, you know, ripping him apart regarding how much stocks had fallen, but he still hung on there. And he was rewarded, you know, significantly as a consequence of that. But I think what I'm most pleased about is the fact that Claudio actually came on the show.
Oh yeah,
he's not the sort of person to come on and talk about stocks on a show. I had to batter him down after a whole year of him coming on the show. We did give him a hard time because I knew he could take it with regards to our questions. We don't ordinarily beat people up like that, but he was an absolute trooper with what he shared. And what my takeaway from that particular show was about the importance of finding your niche. He's found his niche. He's going to explore other niches as well. But it takes time. It takes patience. And the more research that you do, I think it makes you actually a better investor. And if you are able to investigate areas that you were not previously comfortable with, it actually stretches your mind to actually see how other people do it. So if you've fully focused on tech and somebody asks you to investigate something that's a pharma stock or a retail stock, yeah, or heaven forbid, a blockchain related, Bitcoin related stock, investigate it. Don't go, nah, that's all a pile of poop. You actually might learn something by just stretching your brain a little bit and get outside of your comfort zone. So that's what I love about what Claudio did. He enabled other people to think, actually, not all mining stocks are rubbish. Not all loss-making stocks are rubbish. And actually, there's some good stocks available on AIM, on the ASX, on the TSX, which is Canada, and across the water in America. So have a good look around, people, regarding stocks. There are other markets as well as the FTSE and the UK AIM share. So have a good look around. There's plenty of opportunities out there. Pete, I wanted to talk briefly. And this is a stock that's bugged me for ages and I still haven't bought it. And each time I think, actually, it's fallen into my buy zone, it comes out with another piece of news and the shares jump up again. And this is, we all grew up with this stock and the company around us. Tate and Lyle, Pete. Yeah.
Tate.
Good old Tate and Lyle with its syrup and its sugars and all the other stuff that it's involved in. They came out and have spent £237 million on an acquisition, prebiotic dietary fiber business called Quantum from a Chinese listed company called Chem Partner. Now, the bit that shook me here was you very rarely ever see a company being allowed to buy a China-listed company business, full stop. Yeah. And what this deal does, enables them to expand across China and across Asia. And it's going to be accretive to sales growth going forward. They've got the footprint there in China. And we've seen so many companies try and grow in China, expand in China, begin a business in China, and then come away with a tail between the legs, having lost money. And they've done this quite stealthily, I think. And it's a very, very, very smart move, I think. Mm. So I've got them back on my radar again because of that. The share price got to about £6.50 near Christmas. And I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to buy it because, you know, we'll see what happens in the beginning of the new year. It jumped to £7. And I was like, ah, you know what I mean? And then it carried on up to £7.50. Then it went down again to £6.70. And now it's back at £7.50. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So what I've decided to do, Pete, is I've decided to just put an Hail Mary sort of buy order on the platform at £6.70. If it ever comes back there, that will automatically buy a third of the position that I want in the stock. And then that will just get me to just focus on it a bit more. And if it goes a bit lower and gets to about £6, I'll lump in there. Highly unlikely it's going to go there, but who knows with regards to the markets.
That's just caught my eye. That's a really interesting move you've done there. And what I mean by that is putting in a buy order really low down on something that's a quality company, really. It's quite a clever decision. I like that. I mean, I don't think I've ever, well, I think I've come across traders who've done things like that, but I think there's a lot of sense in what you've done, and it's an interesting move. And it sort of takes the emotion out of it, because you can just, you don't need to worry about it. You know, you might end up owning some tape, you might not, you know. It's one of them things.
I've done it for a couple of reasons. I've missed the boat a couple of times on Tate. And psychologically, you used the word being cheap before, right? I have my buy price, mental buy price in my little book, right? If it gets between £7 and £6.50, buy a tranche and wait and see what happens.
Right? Yeah.
It gets to £6.70, I'm going, oh, it could go cheaper that, couldn't it? Yeah. Markets are horrible at the minute. Yeah. So let me just wait a couple more weeks.
Yeah,
and I forget about it, or I don't track it as much as I should do, because I'm doing other things and all the rest of it. And I look again, it's at £7. I'm going, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And because I'm trying to buy quality, I'm thinking, right, you know what, sod it. Next time, bang, £6.70, it hits that there. And if it's one of them days where it goes, whoosh, and my £6.70 gets hit, and I've seen it as £6, such is life.
Yeah,
I'll then be able to at least have woken up to it, and I watch it a bit more. And if it stays at £6, I'll buy some more at £6.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But then I've got a quality stock that's been around, as you said earlier, 100 odd years and more.
Oh yeah.
And I'll wait and see what happens. Are we going into a recession? I don't know. When are we going to recession? I don't know. Quality stocks will prevail, you know. And I'm not buying it for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I'm buying it for the next 5 years, and we'll see what happens. So that's another stock. Just putting it out there for people to research. It's not a tip. I don't recommend stocks. Don't tip shares on this stock, on this podcast. Just to research and people to have a look at. Quality, quality, quality.
Absolutely. Mate, something I'll just mention quickly was that some while ago, a couple of months ago, I got a new phone, a Samsung A52 5G, whatever it's called. And it's 5G. That's the whole point. And I hadn't had a chance to actually test the 5G because the only place I live in Windsor, and the only places near me that got it are London or Reading. I was in Reading last night, so I could use the 5G. I was flipping impressed, mate. I'll tell you what, it is my broadband, like. So the ADVFN app, right? There you are, you can just about see it. I can whiz that across. And you can sort of see the new charts appear, right?
Yeah.
Last night, I'm doing that in the hexagon where James Morrison is playing. I'll tell you what, it was way faster. That's impressive. That is really impressive. It caught my brain, but hey, who worries about it?
the whole purpose of 5G, though, Pete, for the infrastructure, is to speed up everything. So it's meant to enhance business processes. That's the whole point of it. That's why it's a massive investment for most companies and the government to put in place. And you know, they're trialing it, they're putting it here, there. Once that's there, mate, the speed of transactions and business will just be astronomical.
And it should mean when you're at concerts and things, but quite often you struggle to get a signal, you should be able to get a signal. And I also was reading today that 5G could be a real help for this idea of cloud-based gaming. You know, what gaming is, you don't have the games at all on sitting on your machine, you know, your mobile device, whatever. It's all played within the cloud sort of thing. So, and 5G will enable that. So I'll tell you what, I was really impressed by it. And while we're on that, I might as well just link it. There's a company called Spirent. SPT that does telecoms testing, telecoms network test. You've got them. No,
yes, Pete, I've got them.
Ah,
I've only just bought it. I'm saying nothing. You crack on, you've done it again.
They do 5G.
You are so annoying. As soon as you mentioned 5G, I thought he's not going to say BT because I've already declared BT.
Oh,
there's not many other companies involved in that space, and you just had to do it. You are so annoying.
Nothing
more on it.
That's interesting because the share price, it got up above £3 a couple of times a while ago. It's now down to £2.38. It's definitely an interesting looking business. And I think it's, I don't hold it. Pete does. But that's so funny. I can't believe I managed to nail another one.
You've been trying to do that for weeks, mate. You've been trying to do that for weeks now.
Mate.
And I've been looking. And then today you've gone and hit it.
I wasn't even trying there, mate. So SPT, I thought I might have had you on AWE, but you've got more sense. SPT, forecast PE according to SharePad is 17.7, 2 year forecast PE 16.7. You're picking up 2.3% dividend, and that should rise to 2.5%. Looks like they've got a load of cash as well. So, I mean, that is an interesting stock. And 5G, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work testing 5G equipment. So that's definitely one to look at, definitely.
Do you want me to say anything, Pete?
Well, you're biased.
I'm not biased, mate. I mean, all I'm going to say on the matter
is that... You put your money where your mouth is.
No, they're a global company. They're involved in the testing of mobile networks, Ethernet, IP, cloud, Wi-Fi, cybersecurity, you name it. And that's what I liked about it. I like the mix. I like the fact that they're global. I like the fact that they're getting some revenues, lots of revenues from overseas. They've got some cash. I've only recently bought it, Pete, and I'm annoyed that you've mentioned it, but I'll get over that.
I'll say sorry.
They've got a lot of presence in the US, mate. And again, it's 5G. It fits with my tech thing, AI. And the outlook for that, for the sectors that they're in, is growth. And that's why I bought it. The ecosystem for 5G, it just needs to be spread, you know, globally.
Oh, yeah.
And the other outside element of it for me is that it's a sort of company, if, and I don't want this to happen, if they don't get out of their own way, because it's one of them that's been around for a long time. Add growth, then it drops off. Add growth, then it drops off again. So don't get out of their own way. This will be another company, unfortunately. It's a handy size of 1.5 billion. Someone's just going to come up and buy them.
Yeah.
Because they've got a stupid amount of tech involved in their IP and patents. They'll just get bought. So I bought it just recently. And I want them to grow on their own steam. So that's Byron, ticker symbol SPT, another tech stock that I own, and another one that Pete's. But by the way, have I ever shouted out a stock that you've bought, Pete? Have I ever gone, oh, I'm going to talk about this stock, and you go, oh, wow, by the way, I've got it?
Mine always listed.
The whole time we've been on here.
You know, that's funny. We have AstraZeneca and Glaxo.
No, but we know about them. But one that you've recently bought that you hadn't mentioned to anybody yet.
Yeah, well, I don't very often buy stuff.
That day's coming, mate. Mark my words, that day. I'm pointing the finger at you right now. That day's coming.
Oh, dear, that's so funny.
Right. Listen, on that note, folks, we've done almost 75 minutes again. Pete and I were trying to give you a podcast back to the normal sort of stuff that we normally do. I want to thank Claudio H. Fox again for absolutely smashing it on the podcast
last time.
Breaking numbers. The highest viewed video since Pete and I started doing videos where you can actually physically see our ugly mugs. Smash the record there regarding those videos. I want to thank everyone that's given us feedback regarding the last podcast. If you've given us feedback for this podcast, it will be in the write-up for the next one. And those that have given us feedback for Claudio's podcast will be on the write-up for this one. So please visit my website, which is conquest3.com, and Pete will be putting it out on his website. Please support us. Please subscribe to YouTube. Please subscribe to the channels. And if there's anything in here that you like, just give us some feedback. Tell us, share it, retweet it, you know, and support us. And before I forget, Pete needs to say something because he will be doing something soon. The Wheelie Bash.
Well, yeah, I mean,
very quickly, come on, you've got 90 seconds.
Well, basically, you know, I often do these events, the Wheelie Bash. We normally do one a year, which is in September. This year, we want to do two. I'm hoping to do it in May. It may slip to June. All depends on my operation. Once the operation's done, once I'm fixed, then I'll get it arranged. But at the moment, I'm just holding back until I know I'm fixed, which hopefully sounds fair enough. I just mentioned quickly, I'm putting out loads of TikTok videos.
No,
at Wheelie Dealer on TikTok. Check them out. They're really quick, just 3 minutes. It's all educational stuff. So if you're new to investing, you absolutely should check it out.
Cool. I'll say one last thing. If you're new to investing, check out Pete's TikTok. Also, go back to, check out Pete's TikTok videos. Sorry, ladies. Check out the archive of Conquers Corner regarding all of the ISA millionaires that were interviewed on Conquers Corner. Some of them you'll find on YouTube, but most of them will be on my Conquers 3 website, archived Conquers Corner interviews. Loads of ISA millionaires on there. Go and listen to them. Go and have a good listen there. That's enough. That's a wrap. Yeah. Ladies and gents, take care. God bless. Have a fantastic Easter. Buy loads of different Easter eggs. Go and sprinkle them around various neighbours and friends and enjoy lots and lots of chocolate. And happy Easter hunting. Is that enough, Pete?
See you later.
All right. Take care, ladies and gents. All the best. Hope the weather gets better for you all. Bye-bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.